my introduction to black music and black culture came indirectly through my parents. My father had a collection of jazz records from the 30s, and when he would get them out, he and I would discuss them, and he knew that I was more interested in classical than jazz, so he emphasized the connections, and he pointed out that some of the jazz pieces were variations on classical themes.
At what point, though, did your just love of music turn into this desire to sort of do the research and find out more and really dig deeper than anybody has in identifying a lot of these composers and finding their work?
In 1995, I stumbled on two recordings that the Detroit Symphony had done, and they feature William Grant Still with his Afro-American Symphony, which remains his most popular, and also his Symphony No. 2, which is called Song of a New Race. He had in mind doing a trilogy of symphonic works to illustrate the progression of racial experience in the country. And I was really blown away by his music, which I had never heard, and also by William Levi Dawson. He's mostly known for spirituals, but his Negro Folk Symphony that the Detroit Symphony recorded is just excellent, and it was highly praised by classical music critics, and classical music friends that I've shared it with have told me that it's the best piece on the recording.
It must have been difficult, though, because a lot of this stuff just doesn't exist in recorded form. It was not performed as often, and it wasn't recorded as often, for sure. How did you come up with all these other composers, and how did you amass the collection?
I took part in a classical music discussion group online in the mid-90s, and it was through that group, through one of the groups, that I learned that a recording was coming out with music by four black composers, and one of them was Samuel Coleridge Taylor, the British composer. I had learned of him before. He was an Afro-British composer, and he actually performed his musical Hiawatha in Detroit in 1906. But in 1997, this CD came out after I had heard about it on the discussion group, and it introduced me to Le Chevalier de Saint George. And when I realized from the cover illustration of him, and he looks for all the world like Mozart, except he's black, or mixed race, you know, he was Afro-French. And I thought, this has got to be shown to the world, that people have to know that there was somebody at this level. At that point, he was one of the leading composers introducing string quartets and other recent forms. He was conductor of the most important orchestra in France, which was organized by a Masonic lodge, and he was one of the earliest black members of the French Masonic lodges, and he was also a violin virtuoso. He regularly performed music with Marie Antoinette at Versailles at her request. So he had reached the top of French society, not only in music, but as a figure representing what could be accomplished by people of color who had access, as he did, to aristocratic education thanks to his wealthy father who owned the plantation. He owned the plantation on which his mother was a slave.
What happened to him? He just sort of disappeared. He's not regularly talked about as one of the great composers of that era. I mean, to attain that sort of status when he did, he obviously had some talent. What happened to the man's legacy over all these years?
Well, the one official step that was taken was by Napoleon, who ordered that the music be removed from libraries, and he didn't want it to be published or performed. And there was a change in sentiment in society. There was a turn away from the revolutionary ideals of equality.
It seems that this may be sort of a recurring theme with a lot of these composers, initial acceptance of their work, followed by decades, even maybe centuries, of obscurity and just sort of being thrown on the heap and sort of forgotten about over the years. Was it a concerted effort in a lot of cases to make sure that this stuff wasn't heard?
It's hard to know why conductors didn't select the pieces to be performed. Record companies didn't record them, and music professors did not include them in their materials. But you're right that there is definitely a recurrent theme, because Samuel Coleridge Taylor, with his musical, which was performed 200 times in the first 15 years of its existence, he was a household name in both Europe and the United States and Canada. I can't exactly specify or explain what happened, but I know that by 50 years after his death, died in 1912, by the early 50s, you could hardly find his name anywhere. There were no recordings available. There was very little mention of him in musicology. So there is some mystery from my perspective as to how this came about. But you're right, it was repeated in the cases of other individuals too.
No offense, but you don't strike me as the typical computer person that might be out there creating web pages and such. How did you get interested enough to decide that you needed to share this?
Well, as soon as I saw, as I said, the portrait of St. George, and I realized the aristocratic status he had achieved, and I heard the music, and it sounded for all the world like Mozart or other people of that era, I actually was very angry, and I still have some strong feeling that there's been a great injustice done here. This, to me, is a modern civil rights issue, giving due recognition to the accomplishments of people of color, whether it's now or in the past. It's very much overdue.
I have to ask this question. You probably have a lot of people calling you or emailing you trying to get some information about something, maybe a project they're working on or a paper. Is there ever a strange reaction from people when they find out that, you know, as opposed to perhaps some black professor at a university somewhere, that you are a white guy in an apartment in Ann Arbor?
Absolutely. An African-American newspaper editor asked me when I was preparing for the Black History Month publicity this year, what possessed you to do this? Yes, a number of people have raised the question and asked me, and one reporter for a newspaper in New York City, she emphasized that she had been doing Black History stories for years and that this was an absolutely new phenomenon for her to have one that was done by a person who was white. And she said that she thought that was quite unusual, and she questioned why I was concerned about bringing out the truth. And I told her I worked for the Civil Rights Department for 7 years in the state of Michigan, and I did my master's research at Wayne State University on equal opportunity in the building trades, or the lack of equal opportunity. So I had a good background in civil rights, and I transformed it or carried it forward to apply the principles of giving equal treatment. And I tried to apply it to the music scene.
Where do you see this going from this point? Is this just something that's going to maintain itself the way in its current form, or do you hope to expand this somehow, and maybe perhaps some more documentaries, get some more people involved and do some bigger projects?
There are people making efforts in North America and Europe in both English and French, and I believe it will come out. It's too good a story to be left alone.